The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Welcome back. Vicki, we have just a few minutes before the top of the hour. Let's see if we can squeeze in a couple of callers. We've got Earl in Texas on the line. How you doing, Earl?
Very, very well, sir. Very well. Very good program.
Thank you.
Very knowledgeable. I have a couple comments and followed up with a question, if I may. Our demise has been going on for a long, long time. And I believe that the generation, which is called the greatest generation, has did the greatest amount of damage against our republic. This generation, they could have stopped the formation of the United Nations in 1945, but they didn't. If they had done so, there would have been no Korea or Vietnam War.
You're right.
What can we expect? The FDR Roosevelt administration was crawling with communists.
Absolutely. And this generation also, under their watch, because my daddy, he was in both theaters, but under their watch, they allowed the prayer to be removed from school in 1962. They also could have removed the social security system, but that generation, for some odd reason, wanted that type of activity. And the list is almost endless. But I do have a question. The old phrase, you can't fight City Hall, who coined that? Does anybody know?
No, I don't. I don't know. But if I were forced to guess, I might guess Boss Tweed, you know, somebody in New York that was trying to fight Boss Tweed, who was the political boss. But that's just a guess. I really don't know.
That would be a pretty good one. That'd be a pretty good one, too. Do you happen to know, Earl?
No, I don't, because I'm inclined to look at the so-called greatest generation, because every time I've turned around, I had written to an organization that my dad had been with. He was in the maritime service in the Second World War, then into the Army. But he was on that infamous run, the PQ-17, which were pushing munitions and all supplies up into Russia. And he was on one of five ships that made it through. But these people seem like they wanted more and more government, and that was my cry. But I would speak to these organizations, and I would write to these organizations, why did you aid a communist country when from 1917 until 1930s you knew that Soviet Union had murdered over 60 million people, but yet you went to their aid? Well, their organizations wrote back, well, we had to follow orders, that type of thing. But at any rate, I don't want to hold you all up. You have a great program. Thank you for taking my call, sir and ma'am.
Thanks for your call, Earl. Go ahead, Vicki.
I was going to say, I don't believe that our government ever had the problem with the Soviet Union the way that it was presented to us. I think, I know. Now, he just told you about, you know, us supplying the Russians, the communists of the Soviet Union. In the 1960s, beginning in the 1960s, with LBJ, our country established the International Institute for Applied Systems Analysis for the Soviet Union and the United States, for scientists from both countries to work together on common problems. So our country was working with the Soviets of the Soviet Union, the scientists, since the 1960s, and they formalized the agreement in 1972. So all the while, I don't know how old he is, but you know, I'm old enough that I was in the generation that learned to duck and cover. You know, when the bell sounded, the nuclear bomb was on its way, and push our desks to the window and get under it and cower like little animals, you know, as if that was going to protect us from a nuclear blast.
And I was living in Japan at that time, 1962, 63 through 66, and I remember that well. Another thing, thinking back to Earl's question that he posed, I might suggest that the listeners look up Uncle Sam. Where did that name come from? Uncle Sam. And yeah, it's not politically correct to say anything against the Greatest Generation, despite what Tom Brokaw might suggest. But I actually like to say the greatest dupes. But, you know, how many generations of Americans have been duped?
They were engineered in the same way that my generation has been engineered, the same way that this current generation is being engineered. Those people, the so-called greatest generation, they grew up during the Depression. And that Depression mentality, once you have it, it stays with you for your entire life. So the idea of Social Security for them, that was a very big deal, very important, and yeah, they wanted it.
I remember growing up, Vicki, fried chicken on Sunday, one chicken, five people. Mm-hmm. And at least a couple times a month, it was potato soup. That's Depression food. That's when I learned about such a thing as rusty nail soup. That was a hobo soup. Take a rusty nail, tie it to the end of a string, and dip it into boiling water.
My mother told me a story. My grandfather would cook breakfast for them, and on, I don't know if it's Saturday morning or whatever, but anything that wasn't eaten the night before went into the oatmeal the next day.
In my family, if we didn't clean,
so that meant corn, you know, whatever was left over, it went into the oatmeal the next morning.
Yeah, I love it, and things like hash too.
Yeah.
My mother was a Yankee, and my daddy was a Southern boy. Uh-huh. I remember my little sister; she would just get all goo goo eyed and giggly when my dad would call her Shug. She just ate it right up. Anyway, we've got Betty, I think, from North Carolina on the line. How are you doing tonight, Betty?
Just fine, thank you. I'm interested in definitions of citizenship. For instance, when you appear in a court hearing, and much talk about being a citizen of the state you're born in, opposed to citizenship at the federal level. And with the talk that you people are doing, I'm thinking that it's neither of those, that it's global citizenship. And if the American Bar Association is influencing the fact that when we appear in a court hearing, a judge first says, are you a citizen of the United States? And then he's got one meaning and you've got another meaning, and if you oppose it, he tells you it's a commercial court and he won't tolerate any constitutional talk in a commercial court. If it's an international bar association that is impacting the people who possess property and protect it as God-endowed rights, in our country it's a republic under the constitutional restrictions, it seems like that biblical basis and that political undergirding isn't done in the churches, and it isn't done around the table, and it's not talked about where people are just gathering to talk, and I'm all talked out.
Uh-huh.
Well, you want to tackle that, Vicki? Go ahead.
Yeah. When we talk about the New World Order and where they are taking the world, you have to remember that while they might be teaching global citizenship to the children in the schools, the system that makes that true is not fully implemented. So we're kind of in, I suppose, what you might call a legal limbo. We are operating under the laws of the United States, but those laws have been lined up in a lot of cases, especially with environmental things, with, but when you're in an American court, unless your case is international and the judge acknowledges that it's international, you're operating under American law and American definitions.
I'll put it this way. In response, Betty, need to learn a new word. You may not like the word, you may not like it as a label, but we are all communitarians now. And I want you to remember the words of the late Justice Antonin Scalia. The Constitution is dead, dead, dead. When he was alive, whatever was Justice Scalia doing as a member of the Institute of American and Talmudic Law, IATlaw.org. Whatever was he doing? And what are people like Cass Sunstein, Ravi Siegel, Jack Balkin, talking about when they talk about the Constitution in 2020? That's next year.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it on YouTube. Whatever are they talking about? The Constitution in 2020. And what is it about this thing called the melding together of Judeo-Christianity and American and Talmudic law? Could this be the camel's nose under the tent? Whatever are they talking about? Most Americans are not conversant with such topics. They don't know anything about such topics. If you do a search on the internet, what is communitarian law? Very simple. Find out what it is. And find out the answer to this question. Type it in a search engine. What is reflexive law? Reflexive law. Now, both of these types of laws have been the darling of the law schools since the early 90s. Never talked about.
Yeah, they're all methods for the conversion, especially reflexive law, where they're conditioning people to respond to edicts of man that are not written into law. They just expect you to, because the expectation is that you will believe your leaders, whoever is the authority figure in the room. And so if the authority figure in the room says something is true, then you believe it's true and you act as if it's true. We saw I forget what year, area of home scam security, actually used reflexive law. He made an announcement, and I forget the details of it, but he made an announcement that something was going to happen with the border, what the Border Patrol people were to do or something. But anyway, it was not in law. He just made it up. But the people within the department, his department, and which includes the Border Patrol, they acted on it as if it was law.
Well, you know, with communitarian law, what you're really talking about, and with communitarianism in general, is you're talking about Orwellian newspeak and doublethink. I call it communitarian code speak. It allows for maximum interpretation of language within the text of the law, the statutes, the codes, the ordinances, etc. And this is by design. And that's why communitarianism has been described not only as a scientific dictatorship of the quote-unquote community, but it has been described as the final solution. It is a synthesis of all conflict and debate, all thesis versus antithesis, and which need not give rise to any further conflict or debate.
Mm-hmm.
Happens within the language of the law. It happens within all aspects of society, and that's why. And this is all designed to unmoor the foundations or underpinnings for how we thought life is and how it should be and is and everything else. And this has everything to do with rights too. Americans think we have rights, but communitarians don't believe rights exist, except they are accompanied by duties and responsibilities. And this weighs into every court decision in a court of law. Law enforcement today is communitarian law enforcement. All you have to do is do a search, POP, P-O-P, problem-oriented policing, COPS, another acronym, community-oriented policing services, COMPASS, community-oriented
planning,
mapping and planning of analysis at strategic safety strategies. I don't remember what it was. And then the final is ABCD, asset-based community development. Mm-hmm. These are all communitarian buzzwords. And so the cops on the beat, the deputy sheriffs, the highway patrol, every single aspect of law enforcement in this country has been rolled up under the aegis or the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security since 9/11. 9/11 accomplished so much more than just get us into these wars over in the Middle East, supposedly. And we know we can't trust the so-called government's version of events. But there's so much more that's been occurring that it's just simply not talked about.
Right.
Nowadays, and it's really hard. I might say that I'm a regular reader of Robin Eubank's website. It's called InvisibleSurfsCaller.com. And I'll pick up on my thought on that in that regard right after this break.
Yeah. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right, doing the best you can. Well, it's all right, as long as you lend a hand.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I agree with you, Vicki. John has some great bumper music.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, anyway, go ahead, Vicki.
I was going to say, the way that I think of communitarian law, rather than get all deep into the terminology, is to say that under community law, there is no law, because even though law exists, if there's a dispute between you and anybody, the community decides. The community rights take precedence over individual rights. So community law means that whoever is representing the community is the law.
And that word that word community can be likened to the way it was redefined by people like Russell Train and William Ruckelshaus when they redefined the words environment and climate. And they lent mightily to the construction of our common future, which was a report that was issued forth from a woman named Gro Brundtland, G-R-O-S Brundtland. Also, this is called the Brundtland Report. It was put out in 1987. And this is the document which defines sustainable development. Gro Brundtland was the former Secretary General of the World Health Organization, a former President of Norway, and she was the Vice President of the Socialist Internationale. I mean, look at the Newsweek magazine cover from several years ago. We are all socialists now. Look it up. They have a new word to label us, but they don't use it. And they do it deliberately because they don't want people to ask questions. The news is manufactured. It's presented to us because they want us to talk about their talking points, their narratives. Meanwhile, we're kept hidden from, we're kept away from the real information that could change our lives for the better because we have a firm grasp on reality in this plane of existence. Let's not forget that it was the Rockefeller Group back in the late 60s and early 70s that came up with this idea that climate change and global warming and this threat, this common threat to all of humanity would be the great thing to organize everybody around. You know, let's not forget that we had a very important professor of law at Harvard University for 40 years and 20 years more at Emory University in Atlanta by the name of Harold Berman. And what was he noted as? A Soviet legal expert.
Ooh,
now, how is it that a man named Harold Berman, I've got links, you can find them at Communitarianism, First Things First, came to educate American law students for 60 years in the Ivy League, at top universities. You know, we have to start asking questions to get at the answers. And, you know, I was mentioning before the break that I'm a fan of Robin Eubanks. Robin Eubanks is a securities attorney living in Atlanta. And she's married to a software developer. She has an upper middle class lifestyle. She has three children. Most of them today are young adults in universities, et cetera, et cetera. Her website is called InvisibleSerfsCaller.com. S-E-R-F, like an indentured servant. Caller, C-O-L-L-A-R, like on a shirt or a dress. And her latest post is simply entitled, Rebooting the Mind and Heart to Get at Humanity 2.0 and a Global Convergence. Robin writes about education issues. She wrote a book called Credential to Destroy, How and Why Education Became a Weapon. Look it up on Amazon. Read it. Read her blog. I mean, these are serious researchers, just like Vicki Davis on the phone with us today. They're doing the hard work for many people. And I'll pick up again this thread. I got again. You lend your voice.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He stuck back down the alley with some.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Good old Ryman Simon. Anyway, Betty, you know, for whatever it's worth, I might recommend an article that you and the listeners can read. It's simply entitled, A Report on the Axemaker's Gift, Technology's Capture and Control Over Our Minds and Culture. The author of that piece proffers a typically communitarian solution. Accept it.
Okay, can I make one comment now?
Please.
One thing that isn't talked about, if you're a Christian, you're surely going to have an optimistic outlook that the kingdoms of this world are becoming the kingdom of the Lord and His Christ, and of its increase there's no end, and that if the generations will just understand that there's a lot of centuries before them, and there's some before their temporal lifespan, and a lot of centuries after their lifespan, and that it's God's purpose for all his works through all of history, and it is a successful conclusion that it's progressively approaching to. And that's all.
Well, I agree with that. I recommend that you do a read of the Union Jack, because the spirit of the age is described as a Christian spirit of the age. In other words, it would be the Christians who would usher in, because they would be the spirit of it. And I suggest that it's the Christians that are being duped along with everybody else, because what is utopia? Utopia is nowhere. And we talk about the kingdom message, and anybody that talks about, you know, the kingdom of heaven on earth is subscribing to what at one time was termed British Israelism. But anyway, I do appreciate your comments, Betty.
Yeah, I just disagree with your last comment, though, and I'm going to hang up. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Let's bring up Richard in Alabama. How are you, Richard?
Hi. I've been noticing some really disturbing events in the Alabama court system, and it seems as if communitarianism is going to be really good for most of the world, but not for the white people. Now, I see lots of examples of people from other countries getting away with statutory rape, welfare fraud, vehicular homicide, really serious crimes. And it's pretty much the same pattern. They have a California driver's license or no driver's license. And they have foreign documentation, foreign driver's license, foreign passport, whatever, proving that they're not a citizen of the United States. And they skip away from jurisdiction, and the judge just takes all the records and hides them, and there's never an explanation.
Yeah. Well, why I would say that's true. That's part of the destabilization, because if you, going back again to 1648, the Westphalian Treaty, it was the white people who built this system, this world order that we were living in. And so that system must be destroyed to bring in the new world order. And so that includes destroying the people and the system that built it. And that's us.
Also, to bear in mind, you know, Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote a book called The Gulag Archipelago, in which he described an island chain, or an archipelago of work camps, conscripted labor camps, if you will. These would be prisons. And look at the rise of the number of prisons that were built in the 80s and the 90s and continue to be built today in this country. And then you have to look at the population of these prisons. Somewhere along the line, in the name of diversity, somebody said, you know what, we've got too many black and brown people in these prisons. Wouldn't you guess, Richard?
Oh, I read that in the newspaper all the time.
Yeah, but see, you know, let's never forget that white-collar criminals are a lot more elusive targets than blue-collar criminals, you know, the little people crimes.
And on the archipelagos, the prison camps, the smart cities are going to be the panopticons that are the prison camps for people that are basically following the rules. So they will be prison camps, but they'll be prison camps without bars. But there will be surveillance. And
that's right, and I recommend that people take a look at Jeremy Bentham, who is the one that commissioned this drawing of a model prison called the Panopticon. And you can read that on the internet. You know, Jeremy Bentham is called the father of utilitarianism. It's just one of the isms which is listed as being part and parcel of this all-encompassing school of thought or ism that you'll find at RBN. Simply do a search, Lark on Communitarianism, and ask yourself, after you familiarize yourself with each one of these particular multisyllabic words ending in ISM, does this word and the people that are behind this type of thinking, do they have an impact upon my life and the life of my friends and loved ones, yes or no? Dismiss it out of hand. That list of isms was created to be as concise and yet comprehensive as I could possibly make it. So do a search, Lark on Communitarianism, and look in particular at utilitarianism and Jeremy Bentham. He's the one that came up with this thing called the Panopticon. And if I might, I might recommend that you read something called Reversing the Panopticon, because Vicky's right. This smart cities thing is a reality. I personally follow a website called Smart Cities Dive, D-I-V-E, just to keep up with the developments, because, I mean, we are being attacked and assaulted in every way imaginable. Today, in the 21st century, warfare is cyber warfare, but also cybernetic warfare. Cybernetic warfare requires your participation, your input. Read about cybernetic theory in the work of Norbert Wiener, The Human Use of Human Beings, Cybernetics and Society. And we can see it. It's all around us. But those, you know, other types of warfare that we don't often see include, in addition to cyber warfare, we have psychological warfare, asymmetric warfare, mimetic warfare, which goes to meme theory. Remember, he who has the memes has the power. A meme is a unit of cultural replication. If it succeeds, it becomes popular. People repeat it.
Yeah.
Because man learns by rote, he's an aper, he copies. It's a form of biomimicry. But man forgets that he's unique and he's also one of a kind. He is a oner, O-N-E-R, crossword puzzle term, granted. But, you know, we have economic warfare, spiritual warfare, cultural warfare. There are many types of warfare today.
And beyond all being waged on us at the same time.
Yeah, concurrently, simultaneously. And it's 24/7 every day. You know, there's, you know, biological warfare is being waged upon us. And a lot of people in this system today that we look up to that are doing very well in this economy are some of the most brainwashed people amongst us. Mm-hmm. Let's never forget that. But I think you make valid observations, Richard, but the truth of the matter is that it doesn't matter if you're white, black, or brown. We have a bigger enemy today than the Jews or the Baptist or, you know, the politicos. Now, these politicos, I mean, let's face it, they're sock puppets, every one of them. They do not represent you and me.
But my just point do not. Is that if communitarianism is good for all of these newcomers, then it's going to be impossible for us to vote our way out of it. There'll be no peaceful exit.
Well, the one thing that you can do is make a model of your own life. You know, always remember the adage that when you're pointing the fingers, your index finger, at who and or what is the problem or the problems, there are always three fingers pointing back at you. We have to change the way we think and the way we behave and the way we perform first and foremost. You know, people like Arbuckminster Fuller said that you cannot change a pre-existing system. You know, you have to remodel. You have to fashion your own system.
And all
make
fairness,
systems obsolete.
Yeah. In all fairness, though, Lark, I don't know how many city council meetings you've been to, or if you've tried to get something changed in your community. They're not listening to us.
No, they're not. I mean, I discovered this back in 1999, where I live, Vicki, when I found out that it was a bunch of communists that were running City Hall. Mm-hmm. At that time, the mayor of Dallas was Ron Kirk. When President Obama assumed office, that was one of his first appointments. Ron Kirk was the selected special trade commissar, trade representative for the U.S. And he was basically driven out about 3 years later. But I discovered what was running City Hall. You know, it was Economic Development Center. I saw I had to deal with the attorney. Because at that time, I was a businessman, and I was trying to put in downtown Dallas's first grocery store. And it was a huge building. It was called Shed Number 2 at the Dallas Farmers Market, and I'll never forget the experience. So while Nikki was discovering communitarianism and communitarian law and the new neighborhood plan up in Seattle in 1999, 2000, 2001, I was discovering about how communists had taken control of City Hall.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're all the same people, actually.
They really are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's bring up Wayne in Texas. Thank you, Richard. Very good input. Wayne in Texas, how are you?
Hello, Lark.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I think it's been a great discussion tonight. And one thing that's really come home hearing this is that the world of technology and government and the legal community are really coming together to put this whole scenario of the communitarian law together, and it's pretty clear to see, especially after some of the information you guys have given. I know time is running short, so I wanted to just discuss remedies. I know you guys laid it out pretty good at what the problems are. I don't know if you folks have had any successes and remedies against City Hall or whoever, but I'll throw out a couple bullet points, and if you have any comments, just let me know. But the one thing I like to have people understand is that this reflexive law you spoke about, to me, I call it color of law. Kind of looks like a law, yes. Smells like a law, but it's not really a true positive law.
Yes.
And I would call it corporate law, too. And that's
I'd say that's fair to say, yes.
Yeah. And so that's what these cities are using on us, and they use these codes and regulations and all that. And really, there is no legal authority behind it. All they're trying to do is a system of control. And I think if we can come get our heads together, we number one, we have every right to challenge their authority whenever they come in contact with us. You know, are they using a color of law code, or is it a true state law, constitutionally passed by our legislature? I can guarantee in most cases it's color of law. And I know I've done it in the past where I've even challenged, the lawyers behind it. You know, I ask them questions like, is that bar association you're affiliated with, is it a private corporation or a true government entity? They don't want to answer that question. Are you, Mr. Lawyer, licensed by the state of Texas like a doctor or a dentist? They don't want to answer that one either.
What the average man or woman today can do, Wayne, is they need to examine contracts. They need to just go to the law of contracts. They need to ask, is a contract valid or invalid? Is it honorable or dishonorable? Is it private or is it public? In all cases, what you want to engage in is valid, honorable, and private contracts. And we must be mindful, cognizant of invisible contracts where people make assumptions
about
our status.
But here's my point, too, is these folks, they operate, they use administrative-style contracts, and it's called a notice. It's called a letter from the city, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to entrap you into a scenario whereby if you throw it away or don't answer, right away the clock starts ticking at you. And I really believe we have to answer every type of notice or whatever they send us, because that can stall it or throw it back in their court. And a lot of times I have my own scenario where in red, in diagonal, I will write, I received it, return this notice in timely manner. I don't understand nor stand under the nature of this correspondence. I don't know who you are.
You have to challenge jurisdiction. Exactly.
Exactly. And there's other procedures too, like letters. I would have people research letters of inquiry. We have the right to procedural due process whenever these jokers get a hold of us. We have the right to ask question after question after question, and everything is stalled until we believe we have due process. And we could take it out 10 years if we need to. We also need to use their notice of demand.
Nowadays, you don't even have to, there's no requirement that you face your accuser in court.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Believe me, when you talk about each one of those Bill of Rights, you can bet that it has been weakened under communitarian law. You think you have the right to free speech, but except for, you know, you think you have the right to keep and bear arms? Yes, but except when, ever. You know, it goes on and on from there. Because, again, they don't believe anybody has rights that are unaccompanied by duties and responsibilities. And, again, I think you bring up some very good points. But, you know, we need to have more conversations like this,
absolutely.
I think, Wayne. And so I'm grateful that you called in today. We've got short time and
more
callers. Thanks for calling. Vicki, let's bring up Roxanne in Texas. Hi, Roxanne.
Hello.
Hi there.
Good evening, Lark and Miss Vicki.
Hi.
Miss Vicki mentioned the 1600s. There's a papal bull back in 1602 that they want to delete white babies. Have you read that?
No.
No.
Well, I have. But anyway, I'm gonna tell you, and a lot of people get angry with me, but I can take it back, and I've done my history. To John Quincy Adams. He sold out the U.S. back to England. You know, his dad had all those his grandfather had all those lovely letters to his wife and whatnot. But the point being, he sold us out. On June 3rd, 2019, Trump made a request or an order to Queen Elizabeth. I will not visit England unless you sign the U.S. back. And she did. And that's when he went over to England. Remember June 4th, 5th? He went over to England? He took America back.
He went over there, but I don't know the backstory.
He forced her to do it. There's documents. But incrementally, since Quincy Adams sold America out back to England, so, and we know in the 1990s, Clinton sold everything over to China, and Trump is trying to get everything back from China, and everybody's, oh, he's such a jerk. No. He's getting it back because they sold us out. They wanted the new world order or disorder or whatever. So you can go back to the Titanic. What was that? 1912? And who did they kill on the ship? I think it those three bankers that said, no, we don't want this Federal Reserve.
Astor, and Guggenheim, and someone else.
Right? And so that's how in 1914 we started the World War. You can connect the dots. You follow the money. You can follow the family. It's all about these. And like Miss Vicki was saying, you can go, I can take it back to 18,000 years before that. But the point is, it's somebody, and Trump isn't the best guy. You know, he's harassed, whatever. But somebody is trying, and I leave you with that. Somebody is trying. Nobody tried. Obama didn't try. Bush didn't try. Clinton. They're all puppets. They shot the guy in the head, and he was a jerk, right?
Keep this in mind, Roxanne. You know, the national symbol is said to be the bald eagle.
Right.
But imagine this. You know, when we talk about the two wings of the bird today, the Republican and Democratic parties, we're not talking about the bald eagle anymore. We're talking about the phoenix. And frankly, if you look up the phoenix bird in mythology, that's what we're seeing in America today. These parties and the people that represent these parties, whether it be Trump or Obama or Clinton, it does not matter.
Right.
They are serving the agenda of the phoenix bird. And they are serving an overarching communitarian agenda. Don't forget, it is not a new fancy word for communism. It's a new fancy word for capitalism as well.
Well, it's Babylonianism, whatever you want to call it. I went to the Middle East. I lived in the Middle East 6 years. I smelled it. It was bad when I was there. And I've been around the world, and it's bad. But what we have to do is try to help each other. And you're just such, and Miss Vicki, you're wonderful. And I thank you for all you do. Good night.
Thanks. Thanks for calling, Roxanne. Any comment, Vicki? We got one last caller.
No, we're running out of time, so let's take Fred from Iowa.
All right. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Pretty good, Lark. I want to know right now that I wish and hope that you would get your own program again, a 2-hour program. I don't have a crib notes written, and I know I've got short time, and I didn't want to take up a lot of time. But anyhow, Washington John Adams, who was the third president? I got a mental blank. I can't recall his name.
Jefferson.
Okay, Jefferson. Okay. Now, Benjamin Franklin, I think said this, that we gave you a republic if you can keep it. Now, Roxanne brought up a lot of salient points, but I don't agree on all of them. But I hope Roxanne calls in again and to other hosts. So I'm not knocking you, Roxanne. I'd like to hear from you.
Let's take another break. Oh, I guess we're out of time, Vicki and Fred and listeners. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been fun, Lark.
Thanks for coming. Yeah, it was great. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Take America back. We must take America back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.